Beaconsfield is located on the unceded traditional territory of the Ganyang Gehaga Nation, who have been the stewards of these lands and waters for generations. This area has long been a place of gathering, connection, and community, and it remains home to a diverse population of Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples today.
Hello. Welcome to the neighborhood. You are about to embark on a journey with a character. A little piece of housekeeping before you begin. Please be extra aware if you are crossing a street or an intersection. You are responsible for your well-being and the well-beings of others out in public spaces. If you come to a busy intersection or need to stop for any reason, please pause the audio until you are safely across or ready to move on. You will be following in the footsteps of a character and they will be giving you instructions for you to follow. When you hear this noise, your character is about to give you a direction, so listen carefully. Let's do a little test. I'm going to play the noise and give you an instruction. Are you ready? Raise your right hand. Did you do it? Excellent! You're ready to start your journey, which will begin now.
When I moved to Beaconsfield, I was happy to bring my parents with me to my new community. We were the only family on the street who lived in an intergenerational household. I didn't know if we would fit in. It's always a gamble moving, but this community turned out to be a wonderful choice. I remember it was summertime and I joined every club and volunteered at every organization I could. Many of those organizations were here on Beaconsfield Road. And my parents, who lived with us, loved the green, the nature. My father would sit on our front porch just gazing and smiling up at the trees for hours. He said they reminded him of home. My father was a refugee from Uganda, from Idi Amin's expulsion of Asian citizens. He was displaced at only 19 years old. He had so many stories from the different stages of his life, but when he talked about his childhood in Uganda, he'd always talk about the natural beauty and his face would light up. My father passed away last spring. My son Shane moved away for university, so it's just my mother, husband, and I now. But Shane calls pretty regularly. Mabel, are you okay there in the sun? Perhaps you would like your hat?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Lara.
This is my neighbor, Mabel. We've lived across the street from each other for years. Okay. Do you want to put it on yourself?
Well, I'm not incapacitated. Give it here.
I've recently started helping Mabel. She's a widow and she has had some mobility issues, so I've stepped in. It was the neighborly thing to do. I run errands for her, pick up groceries, her prescriptions, and I take her out on walks in her wheelchair. Okay, Mabel, that's enough break. Let's keep walking. We'll get up and turn right to walk down Beaconsfield Road.
Where are we going?
I thought we could do with a change today.
A change? I don't need a change.
Well, I do. We've been walking down the same streets for weeks, and I'm bored. Mabel is not the most friendly of neighbors. She barely says hi. She keeps to herself. I always found her to be crusty, but my father always seemed to like her. You know, I went to a History of Beaconsfield lecture the other day at Centennial Park.
History of Beaconsfield?
Yeah.
I don't need some historian to tell me the history of Beaconsfield. I was there.
Well, tell me about it then.
I'm tired.
The truth is, I don't just need a change today. I have an ulterior motive. The other day, I was in Mabel's house dropping off her groceries, and I noticed that the breaker in her kitchen had gone off. So I went down to the basement to reset it. I'd never been in Mabel's basement before. Her house is kind of like a museum, filled with trinkets, almost like miniature statues. The floors are old wood, they creak when you walk, and it's really noticeable because everything is so still in her house. I try not to spend too much time there. So, while I'm down in the basement, there are boxes and boxes of old clothes and photographs. Photos of Mabel and her late husband, Fred. Photos of holidays they spent together. And then I see an entire album of photos of Mabel playing hockey. She's holding a stick, standing with a team of women. There are hundreds of photos. I couldn't help but think about it. How could someone recoil like she has? She must be so lonely. Maybe she was just forgetting.
Christmas Park. Turn right down the little path through Christmas Park. You know, in the winter they make hockey rinks here. I always thought hockey looked like a fun sport. Don't you think?
I guess.
Have you ever played? She does this all the time. I ask her a question and she deflects, pretends not to hear. It's insufferable.
Well, I've watched it on TV. It's pretty violent and hard to follow because it's so fast. They skate so quickly it tears up the ice. So, halfway through the game, an ice mower goes round polishing it.
Zamboni.
Huh?
Not an ice mower. A Zamboni. That's the name of the machine that cleans the ice.
That's a weird name. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I used to play.
Ah. I didn't know you were athletic.
I was, once. I was like the ice. I used to play ringette, too. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's sort of like hockey, but it's for girls, and instead of a puck, you have a ring and sticks.
Her eyes seem to light up when she talks about sports. If I hadn't gone into her basement, I would have never guessed.
Well, in those days, it was for girls. I was the best on the team because I wore boy skates and was the fastest. Not those white ones with the picks. Real hockey skates.
Maybe you should take up a sport again or something.
From this chair?
Well, you could always play something like bridge.
Ugh, bridge. Worst game ever.
Well, there's other things. Cards, backgammon, Sudoku.
What do you like to play?
Mabel has never asked me anything about myself. I usually show up, get her ready in her chair, take her around the block, and talk about the weather. That's it. Me? I guess Pachisi? I used to play with my father, and I taught my son, so we play when he visits.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's very famous. It's the national board game of India.
Do you see your son often since he moved?
Yes. He's coming home next weekend for my birthday. I've wondered if Mabel had children. I suppose if she had, I would have seen them by now. Coming home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and she'd likely be a grandmother. Or maybe I'm assuming too much. It's funny, they call it Christmas Park. I never see anything very Christmassy here.
The Christmases were an old family here in Beaconsfield. They donated the land to the city for recreational purposes. Oh, that was before my time. And in the 1980s, they built a house close to here on Lakeshore Road. Let's turn right here on Lakeshore Road.
You know, I think we should head back.
There's a block party in Windermere Park today. I can drive us.
I don't think I want to go to a block party.
We're not going for long. We're going to drop in and say hello.
I don't care to see anyone.
Oh, it's good to get out of the house, Mabel.
That's what I'm doing right now. Besides, we don't have any food to bring.
I've been asked to bring drinks.
Drinks? What, you drink liquor?
No, soft drinks. I'm going to pick some up at the shop on our way there.
That's not much to bring to a party. We should bring something with oomph. You know, I had a big bonfire once, and that was before you moved to the neighborhood, right in my backyard. And I made blackcurrant wine. They used to let us have things like bonfires in those days. When I was a girl, every year on Halloween, Town Hall used to host a party. I had a friend, and her name was Anne. She and I decided that we were going to play pranks. The day before, on Mat Night, we soaped the wall of a church and a house around here. I can't remember which one. My mother found out. She knew what we'd done before we even made it home. One neighbor would tell another neighbor and so on, and word spread pretty fast.
So, if you like parties so much, what's the problem?
Fine. We can go to the block party.
This is the longest I've ever heard Mabel talk. I don't believe her when she says she doesn't like spending time with people. Clearly, that's not the case. I wonder if maybe people just don't like spending time with her. She's not exactly an easy woman, but I'm starting to see the passionate side of her.
Let's go into James Armstrong Park here on the left. There's a swing seat in the center. If it's not available, let's just sit at a picnic table.
They renovated this park recently. It's so nice.
Yeah. I just want to sit here for a while.
We need to get going.
Did you know that this park was where the first Beaconsfield Town Hall was? That was before Centennial. And in my day, the police and fire departments were here too.
Really? It's such a quiet area.
All of Beaconsfield was quiet back then. But when I was a girl, we used to go tobogganing and skating here behind the firehouse. It was so exciting to race down this hill out onto the frozen lake. All the kids in the neighborhood would come when there was a big snowfall. But as you know, ice storms are popular in these parts. One morning, I snuck away from my home. I didn't tell my mother I was going tobogganing. The streets were like ice rinks, and I had figured that on a day like that day, it was the perfect opportunity. As I walked down the street, I was sliding all over the place, pulling my sled behind me. The trees hung heavy with ice. Everything was weighed down. The tree canopy over my head posed over me like talons. By the time I had reached the firehouse, the wind had picked up slightly. The trees rung like bells, and the white gusts of snow periodically bleached my path. I reached the hill, set my toboggan down, and gripped the reins. Down the hill I went, picking up speed on the sheer ice. I had never gone so fast or so far. It was exhilarating. When I got off the sled, I turned to climb the hill again for a second go. But the wind was so fierce out on the river, and it was so slippery and hard to hold my stance. Down I crashed. I got up and tried again, but again I fell. The third time I carefully slid my feet forward, but I couldn't tell which way I was going. I couldn't sustain it. The wind had gotten worse, and it was hard to stand upright. From every direction the wind was blowing. It was trying to knock me down. It was starting to get late. I'd been out for hours. No one knew where I was. My sled was so heavy. And the storm was getting worse. I let my sled go, and it disappeared into the white squall. Small pieces of ice whipped through the air, stinging my face, splitting into 1,000 shards of glass. I called out for help. I couldn't move. I was frozen. Paralyzed, stiff, too afraid to walk in any direction, not knowing if I would reach the shore or go further out into the middle of the lake. I thought I would never make it home.
Hello?
I see a light, foggy in the distance.
Hello? Is anyone there?
Over here! Help!
I follow the light and the voice. Then I reach the shoreline, and down comes a rope. I grab onto it, and I'm pulled to safety.
Who was it that saved you?
It was Fred, my husband.
Thank you.
That was the moment I met
Thank
him.
Thank you so much.
He was volunteering at the firehouse. You can imagine how happy I was, not only to be rescued, but also rescued by the most handsome boy I'd ever seen. Thank you, dear, for bringing me here.
Of course. It's getting late. I still need to pick up those soft drinks. We should head back now. Let's turn around and go left on Lakeshore. Mabel has such fond memories from her youth. One of the things I was happiest about when I moved here was how great it was for children. And although my son grew up in a very different era to Mabel, I trust he will have equally fond memories of this place.
I bet I could do a better job of telling you about Beaconsfield. I'm sure that tour guide told you all about the old summer residences here along the water and the farmland that stretched all over the West Island. But I'm sure it doesn't tell you that there was no traffic lights and people used to walk across each other's properties without a care in the world. I remember being a girl walking around barefoot in this neighborhood, which was probably a bad idea because I was always stepping on stinging nettles. Our house was just at the end of this road. My father bought the plot of land off of two sisters, one with red hair and the other with black. The house isn't there anymore. It was torn down in the 80s, and now a new one stands in its place. But the oldest house in town is still somewhere here, on Lakeshore Road.
Is this what happens when we lose our loved ones? We don't want to let go, so we spend the rest of our days living in the stories of the past. A few months ago, I was in a used bookshop and I heard the song World Without End by Laurie Anderson for the first time.
The eerie sound of the keyboard crept into my ear. It put me into a trance, and when she said the words, "When my father died, we put him in the ground. When my father died, it's like a whole library burnt down." I was struck. Never had any song or poem resonate so much with me. My father had died a couple of months prior, and I was surrounded by books.
Your father.
What?
You miss him. You're humming his song.
How did you know that?
He used to walk around the neighborhood humming it.
He couldn't stop humming even when he tried.
Let's have a seat in Angel Park here on the left. Get your breath.
Yeah. Okay.
I always liked your father. He was very polite and gracious.
He was the best. And like you, he liked walking around here too. Always wanted to come to this part of town, even when it was inconvenient. I guess he also had good memories here.
Like what?
Well, he liked taking my son here for walks along the water. He was always telling stories. I just wish... Yeah.
Now, what were the stories about?
Well, he had lots of tales about magical animals or legends about them living in the trees and down by the water. I don't know if they were made up by him or someone else. He used to tell me stories like that when I was a kid, that they lived in tiny homes in the trees or in logs. I used to go out searching in our backyard. And when my son was born, my father had someone new to tell them to. He told my son Shane that there were fairies here in the parks along the water and that they granted wishes. So he and my son would come here and would be searching in all the trees and under all the rocks, hoping to find a wishing fairy. And one day, it must have been St. John Baptist or Canada Day, we were here in Angel Park hoping to see some fireworks. And my son is looking out towards the water and all of a sudden he yells, "Dada, I saw one, a fairy, shining right over there." But it was actually a firefly. And my son wished for a swan for some reason, and so my father took him to the Atwater Market for a ride on those swan pedal boats. It was one of my father's favorite memories, and he would retell the story of it every holiday and remind my son about it, right up till last year when he passed away. He never forgot anything. I'm afraid that I'm going to forget. Every time I hum that song, I think I'm changing it somehow.
I guess that's why we tell stories. Even if the memory is gone, the stories live on and change like the weather. We should get going if we're gonna pick up stuff before the block party.
You're right. Thank you.
Which way is it?
Well, I'm gonna drive. So let's go up to Angel, to Beaconsfield, to pick up our groceries.
What are we getting again?
Soft drinks.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you the story about the first day I...
As I leave the park and walk up Angel Road and walk back onto Beaconsfield, I look up at the leaves tanning in the sun. It'll be winter again soon. The snow and the ice will cover the ground. The days get shorter, the nights get longer. Our breath turns cold, and the memories fade.
You've just listened to The Lara and Mabel Fable, starring Don Ford, Prerna Neda, and Adam Bagatavages. The Neighborhood was written and created by Stephanie Marula and was inspired by interviews from collaborating citizens of Beaconsfield and Montreal West. Music and sound design by Adam Bagatavages. Sound recording by Tyler Rauman at the CDAH. French translation by Rachel Martinez and Elisabeth Adele. Web infrastructure by Michael Townsend. With special thanks to Ryan Hurl and Jeff Poitras. Produced in partnership with the Quebec Writers Federation, Montreal West and Beaconsfield Public Libraries, with the support of the Conseil des Arts de Montréal, the English Language Arts Network, and the Government of Canada. This was an ACTRA production.